chain problems which began with the coronavirus pandemic, nor the European sovereign debt crisis.
Despite the increase in gloom, last month the European Central Bank decided to raise interest rates for the first time in 11 years. That makes borrowing even more costly for businesses and individuals and could spark mass layoffs, bankruptcies, and home foreclosures. The U.S. has hiked interest rates faster than in Europe, while indicating that more rate increases will arrive soon. Since the Great Recession began, Western central banks have aligned their policies, though they do not move in an exact lockstep. The cost of living crisis is expected to significantly worsen this winter. However, many say a negative outlook for the world's most unstable macroeconomic bloc is more accurately described in years and not just seasons.
Inflation is something which could penalize the average person for 1, 2, or maybe even 3 years. So we are witnessing how the average French household is getting much, much poorer. Senior citizens are especially being hurt, and this will have major political consequences in France.
Analysts say a possible solution to Europe's energy crisis is to implement the JCPOA pact on Iran's nuclear energy program. However, both Washington and Tel Aviv continue to hinder Europe's ability to protect its own economic interests. Ramin Mazahiri, Paris.
وقضى ربك ألا تعبدوا إلا إياه وبالوالدين إحسانا.
Your Lord has decreed that you shall not worship anyone except Him, and He has enjoined kindness to parents.
For humanity.
Sayyid Abdullah Al-Musawi.
A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytan ar-rajim. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Brothers and sisters, dear listeners, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and welcome to IRIB English Radio, and you are listening to the program For Humanity. We are looking at human beings in the Quran. How does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala looks at human beings? Because unless we understand who we are, I don't think we will be able to give each other our rights. Now, how are human beings depicted in the Quran? Are they good? Are they evil? Or are they neither good or evil? We just, as we could use this word these days, binary. We just binary. Okay, human beings, they've been shown in the Quran as double-natured creatures, semi-light and semi-dark. Can we say that? How is it that the Qurans praise them to the highest point and at the same time reduces them to the lowest point? Because clearly we made that very clear in the previous episode. Now, whether or not human beings are double-natured creatures, have to be praised and have to be blamed is not of a concern to us. In the logic of the Quran, human beings enjoy all potential perfection and they should direct themselves to bring these inclinations to the stage of action. So we have the capacity, we have the ability to be perfect. All we have to do is work for it. Simple. It is us, right? It is us. We have to develop ourselves. The original condition for the attainment of such human perfection is faith. Allah says, through faith, believing in what you believe, I mean, obviously believing in Islam and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the right path of Allah, the Ahlul Bayt of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Through them, you can attain Allah. Once you attain Allah, you attain perfection. So perfection is not in how you dress, how you look, and what you have, how much money you have in your bank account. Rather, perfection is how close you are to Allah. Faith is the basic step towards piety, correct deeds and hasanat, and endeavors in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. All begins with faith. It is faith through which knowledge is converted into a useful mechanism as opposed to a harmful tool for the passions. Because sometimes I learn, but what I learn, I put it to use to satisfy myself, not satisfy Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But if I use my faith correctly and I use that knowledge to become something great, something perfect, then this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants from me and you. And it is very apparent, therefore, that God's successors on earth, whom the angels praise and for whom there is everything and all perfection, it is the human beings plus faith, not minus it, okay? So the perfect being that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made a successor on earth, or vicegerent on earth, the one that the angels at least respect and honor, are the ones who are human beings plus having the faith of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A human being without, minus the faith, then they are absolutely worth nothing in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Let us take a very quick break and then we will be back. So do not go anywhere.
Dear listeners, you are listening to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. You can send us your emails, comments, and questions at EnglishRadio@irib.ir.
Welcome back, brothers and sisters, and you are listening to the program For Humanity. We are looking at human beings and how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala views them in a good light or a bad light. I will make you be the judge of that. Now, such creatures, human beings, we appear to be sometimes, you know, if we haven't got faith, because just before the break we were talking about people with faith, they reach perfection. People without faith, they reach stage of becoming murderous, greedy, evil. I mean, these are the words that sometimes human beings indulge themselves in. Such a person who just loves corruption and causes corruption on earth, whatever form it might be, small or big. In fact, these people are faithless. They have no faith in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because if a person truly believes in Allah and has faith in Allah, he would not do any harm to any of God's creatures, be it an animal, a plant, or another human being especially. Thus, when the Quran looks at us, when we commit these sins, he says, you guys are just vicious. You guys are just monsters. And when we do good, Allah says, you are my perfect creation. Then again, it is mine and yours, the choice, of course, to make. So specific verses of the Quran clearly differentiate between the praise and the blame, or the blamed or the praised human being. It is written in these verses that the faithless human beings, the disbelievers, of course, are not real humans. It is further declared that should the human being join the true unity and believe in it and set his or her heart at rest upon the thought of it, he would then attain all perfection. On the contrary, though, should he be heedless of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he would resemble a tree which has become separated from its roots. Two simple verses of the Quran illustrates this reality. وَالْعَصْرِ إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ لَفِي خُسْرٍ. Allah swears by time, and he says, verily, mankind are at loss. Every human being is at loss. Except who? Allah says, those who believe, عَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ, تَوَاصَوْا بِالْحَقِّ, they enjoin the truth, وَتَوَاصَوْا بِالصَّبْرِ, and they enjoin being steadfast in the face of calamities and corruption and what have you. If you have these three traits, then you're saved. If you don't, then we will be among those whom Allah says they're clearly at loss. And then Allah says in the Quran, وَلَقَدْ ذَرَأْنَا لِجَهَنَّمْ كَثِيرًا مِنَ الْجِنِّ وَالْإِنسِ, and we have made more firewood for hell from humans and jinn. Why is that, O Allah? He says, لَهُمْ قُلُوبٌ لَا يَفْقَهُونَ بِهَا. They have hearts that cannot contemplate and understand. وَلَهُمْ أَعْيُنٌ لَا يَبْصُرُونَ بِهَا. They have eyes that cannot see. وَلَهُمْ أَذَنٌ لَا يَسْمَعُونَ بِهَا. They have ears, but they cannot hear with. أُولَٰئِكَ كَالْأَنْعَامِ. Those people are like mules. And then Allah says, بَلْ أَضَلْ. But even worse off. So Allah says, if you do not have faith, you are no longer a human. And you're not even an animal, you are below an animal. That says something that me and you, we should try to avoid as much as we can. Thank you for listening. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa alihi. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa alihi.
Join us in this journey. IRIB English Radio. Please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
In the limelight. New polling shows that a majority of California voters do not want Joe Biden to run for office again in 2024, with equal percentages of Democrats saying that progressive Senator Bernie Sanders of Vermont and their state's governor, Gavin Newsom, would be their top choice to replace the current president. The article you're about to hear has been written by Newsweek journalist Jason Lemon. The article has been published by Newsweek and is titled, Bernie Sanders, Gavin Newsom, Tied to Replace Joe Biden in 2024. New polling shows that a majority of California voters do not want Joe Biden to run for office again in 2024, with equal percentages of Democrats saying that progressive Senator Bernie Sanders of Vermont and their state's governor, Gavin Newsom, would be their top choice to replace the current president. Joe Biden has seen his approval rating tank rapidly over the past year, leading some Democrats to raise alarms that he would be unlikely to win a second White House term in 2024. Many have also raised concerns about Joe Biden's age, as he will turn 82 shortly after the next presidential election. While Biden's age and health may be a concern to some, a sizable portion of California voters don't seem bothered by the prospect of Bernie Sanders, who will turn 83 in 2024, becoming president. The independent senator from Vermont, who successfully sought the Democratic Party's nomination in 2016 and again in 2020, tied with Gavin Newsom as the top choice for California's Democratic voters. According to new polling published on Friday by the University of California at Berkeley's Institute of Governmental Studies, Bernie Sanders, who won the 2020 Democratic primary in California, and Gavin Newsom, a 54-year-old, both were selected as the top choice to replace Joe Biden as the 2024 nominee by 13% of Democratic survey respondents. Vice President Kamala Harris, 57, who previously served as a senator for California, came in third, with 10% selecting her as their top choice to replace Biden. Gavin Newsom pulls ahead in the survey when respondents' second choices are factored in with their first options. Then the California governor is backed by 25% compared to 18% who supported Bernie Sanders and Kamala Harris. Overall, the opinion poll showed that 61% of California voters of all political persuasions oppose Biden seeking a second term in office. Among Democrats, 46% oppose the president running for the White House again, while an equal percentage support him seeking another 4 years as commander-in-chief. The survey was conducted from 9th to 15th of August among 9,254 registered California voters. It had an overall margin of error of plus or minus 2 percentage points, while the sampling error among Democrats being plus or minus 2.5 percentage points. The Washington Post first reported in April that Bernie Sanders has not ruled out making a third bid for the White House if Joe Biden declines to seek re-election. The news was based off a memo from a top Sanders advisor, Faze Shaker, who was the former presidential candidate's 2020 campaign manager. The memo was distributed to progressive allies, advising them on how to embrace attacks about the senator's support for their candidates in the November midterm elections. Analysts have posited that Gavin Newsom is weighing a potential 2024 run, even possibly in a direct challenge to Joe Biden. The speculation mounted in July when the California governor released an advertisement in Florida slamming the southern state's governor Ron DeSantis. While former President Donald Trump is seen as the potential frontrunner for the GOP presidential nomination in 2024, Ron DeSantis is regularly floated as the strongest alternative. A previous July poll by News Nation and Decision Desk HQ showed that nationally, Kamala Harris would be the top choice for the Democratic Party's presidential nomination if Joe Biden does not run in 2024. The current vice president was backed by about 16% of respondents, while Bernie Sanders came in second with almost 11%, and Gavin Newsom came in third with about 9%. The survey included 1,000 registered voters with a margin of error of plus or minus 3 percentage points. President Biden and other White House officials have repeatedly said that he plans to seek re-election in 2024. The president has asserted that Donald Trump running for office again would make him even more eager to seek a second White House term.
This is A to Z, an introduction into Husseini lifestyle. Today's lesson, the charitable nature of Aba Abdullah alayhi salam. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Welcome everyone. You're listening to A to Z program from the IRB English Radio. I'm your host, Hussein Hinzano. And in today's lesson, we're talking about the charitable nature of Al-Imam Al-Hussein alayhi salam. Now, as we're talking about the charitable nature of Aba Abdullah alayhi salam, I would like to report to you a short story that took place during his time that shows that His Eminence Al-Imam Al-Hussein was really a charitable person. A traveler came to Al-Imam Al-Hussein and saluted him and told him about his needs and said, "I have heard from your grandfather that he used to say, whenever you have any need, ask it from me. Ask it from one of the four persons, from a noble Arab or the benevolent or the charitable who gives happily or the people of Quran or one having an elegant face. However, the Arab has received nobility only through your grandfather. And as for benevolence, it is your custom. And as for the Quran, it was revealed in your house. An elegant face, I heard the messenger of Allah say, when you desire to see me, just look at the faces of Hassan and Hussein." Trying to say that he really sees so many good qualities in Al-Imam Al-Hussein. Now, His Eminence Imam Hussein asked him, "What do you want?" The traveler wrote his requirement on the sand, and His Eminence Imam Hussein said, "I heard my father say that goodness is proportionate to divine recognition. So I want to ask you three questions. If you reply to one of them, I shall give you one third of what I have. If you reply two questions, two thirds of what I possess shall be yours. If you reply to all three questions, all I have shall be yours, while a pass has just arrived from Iraq." So the traveler said, "Go on and ask the questions. There is no power and strength except from Allah. We'll come back in a few minutes and I'll complete the story." Thank you for listening.
Why is my heart set on fire when I hear your name?
السلام على يا أبا عبد الله
وعلى أرواح.
Welcome back. You're listening to A to Z program from the IRB English Radio. I'm your host, Hussein Hinzano. Now, we are talking about the charitable nature of Aba Abdullah alayhi salam, and we were reporting about a short story that took place during his time whereby a traveler came to Imam Al-Hussein and asked for his help. Now, Imam Al-Hussein just told him to answer a few questions and he will help him whatever he needs. In fact, he will give him half or even all of his wealth if he continues and answer the questions. Now, when he was asked the questions, the traveler said, "Go on and ask the questions. There's no power and strength except from Allah." The Imam Hussein alayhi salam asked the traveler, "What is the best deed Then the traveler answered, "Believe in God. If you have a belief in God, that's the best deed that you can do." Then Imam asked him, "What is the way of salvation for any man, for a man?" Then the traveler answered, "The reliance and having trust on God." And then Imam asked him, "What is that bestows beauty to man?" The man replied, "Knowledge accompanied with forbearance." "What if he does not have? What if he does not have knowledge?" That is, Imam asked him. "Then he should have wealth accompanied with generosity." "What if he does not have it? What if he doesn't have the wealth?" "Then he should have penury accompanied with patience." He said, "What if he does not have that also? A bolt of lightning should strike him from the sky and burn him up." The holy Imam smiled and handed him the pass. He gave him what he needed, just by asking him a few questions, and the guy answered them very nicely. This is a short story showing us the charitable nature of Aba Abdullah alayhi salam. Dear brothers and sisters, we really can learn a lot from the life of Aba Abdullah alayhi salam. We see how charitable he was and how he lived with people. Some of them, he didn't even know who they are, who they were. They just came to him, seeked for help, and he helped them. This is how Aba Abdullah lived with people. Thank you so much for listening to this episode. Until next episode, inshallah, fi amanillah, wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Thank you very much, dear listeners, for listening to this episode of A to Z. Don't forget to visit our website at parstoday.com/en-islam-page, where you can find all our previous programs and many others as well. Until another episode and another lesson, fi amanillah, and God bless you all.
Better friends than you, but anyone stay here won't be alive tomorrow. You can save yourself tonight and go.
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. IRIB English Radio.
Cultural news, social news, scientific news, artistic news. With the light.
Living through a pandemic is strange, as we are often locked indoors. But a UK-based Indian mechanical engineer made the best use of his time during the coronavirus lockdown and built an airplane. 38-year-old Ashok Ali Serial, who is also a private pilot, had long dreamt of a personal aircraft. He initially planned to order an aircraft kit and built it with his colleagues. But he says the 2020 lockdown left him with no choice but to complete it on his own. Now he has an aircraft which he has named after his youngest daughter, Dia. The plane can carry up to 4 people, including the pilot, and fly about 250 kilometers an hour. After getting clearance to fly, he flew across 4 European countries with his friends. He has also gone on a trip with his family of 4. You might think twice about throwing out your old trainers after this story. A startup in Tunisia breathes new life into old shoes as artists restore and even customize the footwear. The new business is called Kenenti and is located in the capital, Tunis. Here, the team uses fabrics, laces and leather recovered from various factories for the repair work. The creative artists work on every detail during each project, even the soles of the shoes. The work aims to find solutions to shoe waste and reuse items instead of adding them to the world's landfills. Cherif Zerui is the co-founder of Kenenti. He says the idea came to him 2 years ago when he discovered the number of shoes thrown away each year in Tunisia.
In France, there are 100 million pairs of shoes thrown away every year. This is a huge figure for us, and for the ecosystem and for the earth. In Tunisia, it's almost the same, given the population. There were 3 or 4 million shoes thrown away every year. So we thought of giving added value to these shoes, so we restored them.
Zerbui also says he is happy to create jobs for those willing to participate regardless of the educational degree. Besides shoes, these artists dabble in restoring worn-out handbags, giving them a brand new look. Many of the artists and interns say they are proud to be part of this unique project. They say they feel like a family there. The startup is the first training restoration business to be launched in North America.
Age does not matter, it's the heart that counts. A Guatemalan female footballer has proved that there is no point one should worry about the age. 57-year-old Alma Salazar has a passion for soccer and takes care of her team's goalpost. Known as Flying Granny, she launches herself and deflects a ball that's looking for the nets. The passion for the sport was born when she was 19 years old. She started training with a men's team where she often found a place as a goalkeeper. Since then, Alma has played for several professional and amateur football clubs. In her room that overlooks a local stadium, Alma keeps the trophies she has won on a table, most of them as the least defeated goalkeeper. Locals praise her as an unbeatable goalkeeper. The evolution of robots has been one of the fascinations of recent technological developments. And now the most cutting-edge achievements in that department were presented to the public during a conference in Beijing. The four-day annual World Robot Conference was held both offline and online. It featured three major events, including forum, expo, and competition. On display were more than 500 sets of robots from 130 companies from China and abroad. The conference gave an idea of how the future of humanity will be impacted by the automations. It shows how they can contribute to different sectors, from the restaurant industry and medicine to elderly care, agriculture, and manufacturing. An inflatable building that explores how people would potentially live on Mars has been unveiled in the British city of Bristol. It's a two-story structure with an area of 570 square feet, powered by solar panels. It's designed to cope with temperatures as low as minus 63 degrees Celsius. Although the Martian house will be displayed above ground, its lower level will be fully buried to maximize protection against the harsh environment on Mars. Inside, the top floor features a hydroponic living room filled with decorative plants that feed into a circular wastewater system. A team of experts helped develop the design, taking into consideration the complexity of transporting materials to the Red Planet and what is already there.
So in the gold inflatable structure which you see above you, that's the main living space of the Martian house. It's gold to reflect dangerous solar rays and cosmic radiation, and it's inflatable because it would be filled with a special concrete made of the dust and water that you find on Mars, again to protect you from those dangerous solar and cosmic rays.
the Martian house was envisioned by local artists 7 years ago. The artists also brought together space scientists, architects, engineers, designers, and even school children. The space age dwelling explores what a house on Mars could be like and is meant to for research and experiments about the future. The major objective of the project, however, is to provoke questions about living more sustainably with the resources at hand here on Earth.
The Light is a bulletin in which we bring you a lot of interesting news in different fields like animals' life, cultural events, funny trending news, and more from every corner of the world.
Japanese plastic food artisans are showcasing their mouth-watering artificial creations at an exhibition in Japan's capital city, Tokyo. From the Leaning Tower of Pizza to fish slicing and cooking, or even the quirky stacked pancakes, you can find almost everything at the exhibit. Other sculptures, including a deep-fried shrimp with four breaded legs scaling a mountain of shredded cabbage like a tiger. Another creation on display is a Tetris game made of chicken. Plastic food artists get really excited for the exhibition each year as they are given a chance to practice their own spin on creativity, bringing food to life with curious characters.
So normally we have to follow orders from clients. We take their views on board when we're making items. Normally that's our work. But for the competition, you can use your imagination. How it finally ends up is totally up to you. I like that aspect of it.
There are some 60 sculptors on display. Some are silly, but others highlight the artist's skills. The models were made with the same careful detail as the rock-solid noodle soups and crispy-looking plastic snacks on display outside Japanese restaurants. There is a lucrative business for them in Japan.
Deforest management plays a key role in mitigating climate change. Like many world countries, China has accelerated environmental and social structural changes in urban spaces to deal with this pertinent issue. The Donggu Forest Park is one such project that has provided city dwellers enough space to breathe. It comes into being from what local people usually called rotten woods. The park on the northern bank of the Xialinge River covers an area of nearly 120 hectares. Nobody would come there before, as the place was full of flies and mosquitoes. But now, with the environment improved and water cleaned in the river, the place has turned into a wonderland, attracting locals and even foreign tourists.
Now the sky is blue, the water clean and the air fresh, with green greeting you wherever you go. The elderly play Tai Chi or do bodybuilding exercises here. Young people play football, basketball and table tennis.
Over the past 20 years, a large number of cities in China have undergone a brief but rapid urban expansion. Most of these cities are now facing social problems such as an aging population and a high prevalence of chronic diseases. A comprehensive environmental improvement program in the area was initiated in 2014 in order to create space for those who want to take a break from their everyday works.
Whilst not being as painful as a broken limb, animals like humans suffer from chronic and acute pain from gum infections, broken teeth, and bacterial spread through the circulation. A 16-year-old elephant in Pakistan is one such case. Madhubala, suffering 4 years from a dental infection caused by a broken tusk, has finally got relief thanks to Vets Dentist. Named after a legendary Indian actress, Madhubala's eyes were taped shut, her legs tied to support her during sedation and subsequent treatment at a Karachi zoo. The vets had to use drills and other heavy surgical tools to extract the infected tusk. She is one of four African elephants being treated in Karachi by an eight-member team from global animal welfare group, Four Paws. A Pakistani court last year asked Four Paws to assess the health of the animals after local animal rights activists raised concerns about their well-being. England's Paradise Wildlife Park welcomes its new guest, an endangered red panda cub. The mother, Tilly, gave birth to the cub just 1 month after she lost her breeding partner, Nampang. Experts say Tilly had been under a breeding project for 4 years. The cub has been named Little Red, and his birth is being celebrated as a, quote, symbol of hope. Red pandas are classed as an endangered species and are on the red list of the International Union for Conservation of Nature. The bushy-tailed bamboo munchers dwell in high-altitude Asian forests, and their population is now fewer than 2,500. Lightning strikes are a very powerful and misunderstood force of nature that we all often see being used in films. A spectacular lightning strike has illuminated the sky over the Scottish town of Dundee. A video from an eyewitness that captured the hypnotic scene has been shared on several social media platforms. The lightning in the clip can be seen sending several bolts in opposite directions. Below, a church spire is silhouetted against the lightning flashes. But lightning is not always spectacular, as sometimes it causes fire to tower and high rises. Last month, a wind turbine caught fire after being struck by a lightning bolt in North Texas, United States. Forestry authorities in southwestern China have opened a new canteen for wild Asian elephants in a bid to stop them wandering into villages. The canteen in Yunnan province provides the animals with attractive and nutritious meals while exploring man-animal harmonious coexistence. During these years, the province has explored multiple ways to reduce the encounters between humans and elephants and try to keep the animals away from farmers' crops. There are now approximately 1,400 hectares of dining halls for elephants, with many expanding from 100 to 240, such as corn, rice, and sugarcane. They are planted on a large scale and within easy reach of the elephants. The location of such canteens is extremely selective, usually away from villages and major roads, and the chefs are locals.
بسم ربك الذي خلق.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها المزمل قم الليل إلا قليلا نصفه
أو انقص منه قليلا أو زد عليه ورتل القرآن ترتيلا
قد دعوتك ربي بقرآني جنبني حراني.
Let's recite the Quran.
ناجيتك أرجو غفرانك يا من ينجينا إحسانك ودعوتك ربي بقرآني.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على محمد وآله الطاهرين.
اللهم صل على محمد وعلى محمد وعجل فرجهم.
Dear respected brothers and sisters, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. This is Habibullah Fasihzadeh with the Let's Recite the Holy Quran, a series of Quranic sessions held by IRIB English Radio in cooperation with Sevier International Schools
of
Network.
Of course, me.
Yeah, yeah. And also a group of students of Sevier International School. I really welcome you all again. Thank you so much for joining us. So we have here Muhammad Hadi Naghawi and
Sayyid Muhammad
Hadi and Naghawi, yes. And we have Mahdi al Husayna, right? And then we have Minhal Hussein Nasser, right?
Yeah.
And also?
Sayyid Muhammad Yahya Ja'fari.
Great. Sayyid Muhammad Yahya Ja'fari. And of course, me again, Habibullah Fasihzadeh here, okay? Welcome back, dear Muslim brothers and sisters. Thanks for being with us. There is one next lesson that we are going to learn, which is the mad. We call it mad. You might have heard about it, right?
Yeah, sure.
So Mahdi, what does mad mean? Do you know Arabic? What does it mean?
Yes, mad means like...
No, I mean, what is the meaning of mad in Arabic?
Mad means head, means stretch.
No, not someone who is mad.
No, mad. Mad means stretch.
Oh, yeah. So mad means stretch. Have you seen like have you seen theraband?
Yeah.
Theraband. When you stretch it, okay? When you pull, okay, from two sides, it kind of stretches, yeah? It becomes longer. So this is called mad, right, Mahdi? Am I correct? So are you going to learn this or no?
Yeah.
So if you wanna learn this, so recite a salawat. Look like a sleepy man.
Yes.
Dear Muslim brothers and sisters, inshallah, the next lesson is about mad. It means stretching or prolonging the sound, okay? Yeah. If you take a look, you might see some kind of signs, okay? Like lines, I mean, like what? Like a line rising and falling, okay? That
cap.
Kind of, yeah. Like
cap.
What?
Cap, like cap.
Like a cap, yes. Yeah. Like a front of cap, yes. Goes up and down. This kind of line. If you see, there is in page. Do we have here? Yes.
Yeah.
In page 48.
Ya
ayyuhalladhina amanu. On the top of wall, there is a sign.
Yeah.
There is a sign. There is a line. Okay. We call this line mad.
Mad.
And it means that you have to prolong the sound of ooh. If it is alif, okay. If it is whatever, it's fatha, kasra, dhamma. You have to prolong the sound. We had this natural mad. Do you remember?
Yeah.
We had alif maddi, waw maddi, and yaw maddi. How much did you prolong it?
Two
counts.
Three.
So but this one, 10 counts.
No, six.
Four.
Okay. But this mad, yeah, it is different. Look, it is different. In some words,
six.
In some words, okay, yeah, four counts. In some words, six. Okay, so usually four.
Yeah,
understood.
Yeah.
So, if it is if you have to prolong it like six counts, okay, it becomes the sign. The sign itself is a longer one.
Yeah.
Okay.
And it's
you might
heavy
see.
Water.
Yeah. So now, how do you say? You only prolong the sound.
Yeah.
Like, for example, you say...
You shouldn't say four times. Yeah. You shouldn't say...
Yeah. So, for example, you say... like, fatha, if you produce the sound of fatha, now four times. Say them, this fatha, and join them together. Now join together. This much. This much, okay? Six counts now. You might hear.
No, sir, it's not.
You might hear some of the reciters, okay? They are saying like this, okay?
I can do.
Like this,
you're
right?
One of them.
No,
yeah, you're
one of them. Me too, I can.
Can you do it, Mahdi?
Yes, I can do.
Recite.
والسماء وما You said I can recite that.
والسماء وما بناها
وما أنزل الله من السماء من ماء فأحيا به الأرض like this.
I think we read my passage like this.
So look, it is a little difficult, okay, to understand six counts or four counts or three counts.
Better four.
But usually, normally, randomly, okay, four. You have to do it four counts, okay?
Because the best example is Alif Lam.
No, they are six.
There are six counts, okay? Alif Lam. So, alhamdulillah, now you know what is mad. So now let's go and find. Go to page 50.
50.
Page 50. Surah Ali Imran.
So I found two. Three, two.
So, A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. How do you recite Muhammad Yahya? One by one, we will go, okay?
So can I say something?
One by one, Muhammad Yahya, recite.
Alif. Oh, sorry.
What about? A'udhu billah, bismillah.
A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Alif lam mim.
That's great. Why not Alif? Alif.
Because you don't have mad.
It doesn't mean you prolong it. Alif Lam. Alif does not have mad, so you prolong the other one.
Alif Lam.
So, Minhal Hussein, the same thing, the same ayah? Alif Lam.
Is this ayah?
Yeah, that's ayah. Yes, first ayah.
This much.
And this is also ayah.
Okay. Are you a human being?
Yeah.
You're this much?
Yeah.
Alif, Lam, Mim. Three more.
Look, he's going to... Alif, Lam, Mim. Alif, you have to... Lam. Separate. Mim.
Alif,
separate.
Sir, I have a question.
Ahsan. That was... Mahdi, Alif, Lam, Mim, recite.
Alif, Lam, Mim.
حسن. That was great.
قرآني نبض حياتي قرآني طهر ذاتي قرآني عصمة أمري قرآني طوق نجاتي قرآني نبض حياتي.
How to learn Quran easy? What is the correct way to read the Quran? What is the correct way to learn Arabic and understand the Quran? Be with Let's Recite the Quran.
Hadi?
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ألف لام ميم
أحسن everyone after me repeat الله لا إله إلا هو الحي القيوم
الله لا
Okay, one, recite it, Muhammad Yahya. Listen to Muhammad Yahya. Recite it.
Muhammad Yahya, ja.
Listen, there is a mistake. Go on.
Allahu la.
Again?
Allahu la.
Oh, why did you change? Your first time you said Allah, then said Allah. Why?
Sir, because sometimes Allah, we should say Allah.
Okay, how do you recite this one?
Allahu la ilaha illa huwa al-hayyu al-qayyum.
Okay, why don't you recite it? Allahu la.
Because sure, Allah. Sir.
Because Allah is very great.
Yeah, Allah. Sir,
because behind it is Akbar.
Okay,
Allahu la ilaha illa huwa al-hayyu al-qayyum.
What?
That was good. Allah, we were focusing on Allah.
La ilaha illa huwa al-hayyul qayyum.
So do you want to know why?
So because behind it is not.
Now listen up. I tell you the reason, okay? Why you pronounce Allah heavily. Remember that. Remember.
Allah is big.
Whenever.
Allahu Akbar.
Yeah, Allahu Akbar. Okay, but the reason of why do we recite it heavily is that, look, whenever you start reciting the Quran, and the first word is Allah, you have to pronounce it heavily. That's okay. Allah. But the rule is this. Whenever Fatha or Dhamma comes before Allah, you have to pronounce it heavily.
But here is mad.
Wait. Look. Whenever Fatha or Dhamma comes before the word Allah, you have to pronounce it Allah heavily. But if Kasra comes before it, Allah.
What about Dhamma?
I told you. Dhamma and
Fatha. What about mad? So here is mad before. And meme is mad.
The ayah starts with the word Allah.
Yeah.
You say, if you say like this, look, when you join these two ayahs, it becomes like this. Alif lam mim. Allahu la ilah. Because that's a letter that does not have any harakat. Mim does not have a harakat. Alif lam mim. Allahu la ilaha illa huwa al-hayyul qayyum. Okay.
So, I have a question. There's only lam. There's no lam.
Where?
Like there's no la. There's only lam.
Allah, the word Allah. There are two.
When you say Allah, there's no like la, like
fatha.
No. Because because we only have lam. You pronounce the lam like le. But there's no lam. Like you don't pronounce the lam that strong in there.
There are two lam. Look, it has a tashdid, a shadda. Look.
Allah.
Allah. Mahdi. Look. Allah.
No.
Two lam.
Three lams.
Two. Three lams.
Allah. Allah.
No. Allah.
But in Allah, two lams and one he. In one lam has tashdid. And before it, it has something.
No.
There's no L in Arabic. Like, how are you supposed to pronounce it? There's no L.
What? Tin, though.
There's no L.
Lam.
Yeah,
but you're not Arabian.
Yeah. No, because the lam, it's you pronounce it softly, but we don't. Like,
sir, he said,
so inshallah we will get back.
Lam.
Okay, let's recite a salawat. No, but before we do that, let's give a thanks to Xavier International School Network and also IRB
English
Radio. Inshallah we'll get back. Stay with us. Recite a salawat. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad
wa ali Muhammad wa ajil farajahum.
Let's recite the Quran, a joint production of IRIB English Radio and Xavier International Schools. ذكر وموعظة ونور فيه شفاء للصدور وشفيعنا يوم النشور آياته تروي المدى وصفاته نبع الهدى نلقى الجنان بحبه لن تستقيم حياتنا إلا به هو القرآن والفرقان إليه تنصت الأكوان وفيه تعطر الآذان والقرآن.
IRIB English Radio.